Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Christy Nelson has spent the better part of her adult life in the nonprofit sector. She now leads the Network for Grateful Living. We've spent a month exploring themes of gratitude and philanthropy. So Christy Nelson joins us on the phone now to extend the conversation. Christy, welcome back to In the Moment. Thanks for being here.
I am so happy to be with you again. Thanks for having me.
You left such an impression when you visited South Dakota as part of the Morning Phillip, which might have been a year ago. I mean, it's been months, and we still haven't forgotten our conversation.
That's really good news to be memorable for those reasons. And I just have to say that Rapid City left a really big mark on my heart. Having never been to South Dakota, I had an extraordinary time and met so many amazing people. So you guys have a community worth celebrating, and I'm thrilled to be part of it.
Tell us a little bit about the Network for Grateful Living and what kind of organization it is, because it seems maybe counterintuitive to some people that you could have, you know, that you could work on a daily basis with ideas of gratitude and generosity. And so tell us about the network itself, please.
Oh, it's so intuitive to do that. So it's the network, it was started in the year 2000. It was founded by someone named Brother David Steindl-Rast, and he's a Benedictine monk. And he and some of his friends wanted to bring the teachings about gratefulness into the world and to have a platform. And they started as a virtual global organization, and it was called Online Support for Offline Living.
Oh.
And the website was constructed as a place where people could go for inspiration about how to stay grateful in our lives, comfort when things aren't that grateful, and we want to retain a grateful perspective in the face of difficulty and challenges, and how to draw on the best in ourselves, how to connect with our values most deeply and express those. So we are a hub and a global hub for a community of people I would call seekers, people who are interested in delving deep into life and finding their way through the great mysteries of life and how to have a greater degree of well-being. I would say that well-being is a big part of why people are drawn to us, is to have, and I would put the word unconditional in there.
Mm.
That gratitude isn't just for the moments when things are working well.
How difficult is that? Because sometimes, you know, you're grateful for something because you've been through something and now it's over. Or you have a moment where all of a sudden you're faced with your own mortality and then you're grateful to be alive. But it goes away. It fades.
Yeah. You go right to cut to the chase, Lori.
Yeah.
I love that. I call those wake-up call moments.
Sure.
You know, when we get a wake-up call and face the possibility of the loss of our own life or the loss of something or someone we love. And those wake-up calls, we don't want them to fall on deaf ears. The goal would be to be awake to what we love and awake to the remembering that life is a gift all the time, so that it doesn't need to be brought about in some way that's like, oh my God, I just almost, you know, I just survived that terrible accident, you know, and I'm so glad to be alive. I'm going to go home and kiss my children and love my wife and be grateful for my job and, you know, the privileges that I have in my life. Well, where is that recognition and that awareness and that acknowledgement the rest of the time? So part of what we say is, can I be more awake in my daily life to gratitude for the fact that life is a gift all the time, even when we're struggling? It could be otherwise, right? So that we know that we're going to learn from things. And so can we be more aware in the moments that are hard? This is a learning opportunity, and I will be grateful for this. How can I go through this knowing that there is life on the other side of this challenging time? And that's a really important thing to remember. Our bad days are somebody else's good days.
Yeah.
You know, no matter who we are, no matter what we're dealing with, no matter, I had cancer and, you know, very advanced cancer, and my hardest days were somebody else's days that they might have dreamed of in a way because they're no longer alive or they suffered something that was more acute than what I did. And I think it's important for us to live inside a relative frame of reference. Even when things are hard, to remember what are the privileges, what are the things that we don't want to take for granted about our life as it is, knowing that it could be otherwise. And so that's an important place to remember, and it actually really helps us sometimes bounce back and be present to life. It's like, oh yeah, I'm here. There's still opportunities in every single moment. And how do I not waste those?
How do we live in that relative frame of mind without shifting into a hierarchical or comparative frame of mind where, you've heard people like, well, I'm so grateful that, even if, say, you're having a bad day, a fight with your spouse, I'm so grateful, at least I'm not divorced like the lady next door. Or, you know, how do you keep that sort of relativeness? See how my brain works, but you know, we're human beings, and sometimes we can slip. We can use gratitude can be used to minimize people's suffering, to sort of, you know, blame somebody for having a bad attitude. It can be used to compare. How do we sort of embrace the positivity of gratitude without slipping into some of those all too human moments where we are not our best selves?
This is why I love talking to you. It's because you ask the best questions and you dive right in. So our experience of what we're grateful for, I think one of the things that's helpful for me to do is to remember, even when I'm struggling with things that feel like they're responsibilities or burdens in my life, that I compare it to what my grandparents would have imagined, right? Like, what would this have been like? It's not to compare to the person next door, because we don't want to objectify other people and look at other people and make ourselves better than because somebody else is necessarily suffering more. But it's more about knowing what in the universe of possibility, you know, what is working. To focus on what is working versus what's not working, I think is kind of a really good way to put it. It's so easy, and in our culture, we end up having conversations all the time about what isn't working. And I think it's not about taking those conversations away, Lori. It's about adding to the conversation. Yeah. So it's not just, I shouldn't be feeling this difficult feeling. I think it's also, what else is there for me to remember so that I can actually activate myself in some way toward love? It's not about a positivity or let's be optimistic all the time, but what unleashes our hearts, what makes us, what brings us to life, what allows us to still feel compassionate and generous about other people and towards ourselves. So one of the things that I think is important and that helps a lot for us is to remember the ways in which we are really blessed by things which we might feel are burdensome in the moment, but when they're gone, we recognize that they were real privileges. And that's kind of the wake up call thing sometimes too, is, you know, we have people who are very connected to living gratefully who have had a house fire and lost absolutely everything that they owned. And then they realize that the things that they begrudged or complained about or neglected or what didn't appreciate in some way actually were incredible blessings in their lives. So it's about what do we take for granted? And I think we take a lot of our privileges and our good fortune for granted. It doesn't require comparing to anybody else.
Right.
It requires being really present in the moment of our own lives and valuing life and valuing being alive and being grateful more than being in the space of comparing ourselves to other people for sure, but always coming up short. It's really easy to live in entitlement, in disappointment, in a deficit economy, in our own well-being. And I think this is a rate of, you know, it's really important to focus on what is working right now in my life. There might be things that are difficult and that aren't working, but what is working? And what do I have? Because there's things that I'm not going to have. But what do I have that I can be grateful for? That doesn't require comparison. Sometimes it helps to think about, you know, when I was growing up, the things that I now consider responsibilities, burdens, obligations, they were my dreams when I was growing up.
Yeah.
To have a home, to have a family, to have all the responsibilities that come with something.
Yeah.
And to remember, it's just a switch. It's like a switch we can switch in our own minds about, wow, this thing that I have thought of as besieging me or as a burden is really in many ways much more, how can I befriend it? How is it a blessing? How am I fortunate? What is my privilege in this moment? What's working?
I feel that way with email, because email is one of the things I despise the most about modern living. But if you sit back and you think, it is a privilege that so many people have reached out to me with wonderful ideas and with, you know, wanting to have a conversation or wanting to be on the show. And what a gift that my email box is full every day. And it doesn't always work, but
this is what we call a good attempt at a reframe.
Yeah.
And the reason why grateful living, which really what we call it, gratefulness, it's not just gratitude moment by moment. It's more the state of living in gratefulness.
Yeah.
It's such a practice. It really is. You don't just get there by arriving in the same old way to your email. But I think it actually helps to practice, which means to actually pause, to remember the fact that email is a privilege, that your laptop is a privilege, your computer, electricity is a privilege. What are the things that we forget are privileges? But unless we imbue ourselves with that remembering, we feel burdened by life and by the things that really are privileges that we have to tend to and all that stuff. So I think it's a practice, and like anything, a muscle can be flaccid or it can be strong.
Right.
And it's better if it's on the stronger side. So it takes daily efforts to remember. And for me, the thing that I'm trying to remember is perspective. Mm. I'm trying to get perspective on the moment. And when I lose it, I can return to that if I pause and ask myself those questions about how am I fortunate right now? What is working about this? How am I sitting with privilege in this moment to have email and a full email inbox? Wow, it takes a constant remembering ourselves.
How can a practice and sort of living in that space of gratitude or gratefulness, how can it change your health, your relationships? What do you know from your experience and from your research that says this matters not just so you'll have a slightly better day than you would have had if you hadn't thought about it, but it has a grander impact or a more deeper meaning?
Oh, beautiful, beautiful question. All the gratitude on research, gratitude research says that when we experience feelings of gratitude and when we express them, especially, so when they're not just held inside our bodies, but when we actually live gratefully, and so we're in grateful dynamics with people, we share our gratitude, that there's evidence that it boosts T cells, our immune response, it boosts heart health, it helps ameliorate stress, helps us sleep better. They've got research that proves that it makes you more likable. The more grateful you are, it makes us more generous and compassionate towards people around us. When we are kind of taking stock of counting our blessings in some way and feeling fortunate, we're much more likely to be generous than when we are operating from scarcity. So, and in terms of relationships, I can just speak about my own life as an incubator or a laboratory. If you go through a week and you say, I'm just going to be incredibly generous with my gratitude in all the relationships that I'm in, I'm going to call people, I'm going to email them. There's a good way to fill somebody's email inboxes with loving, grateful emails. I'm going to write letters. I'm going to stop people on the street. I'm going to thank people who are my service providers in a way that's really meaningful. Spend a week doing that and you will be your own research subject and your relationships will flourish profoundly in the nourishment of your appreciation. It's just a fact, and you can prove it to yourself every single day.
Yeah.
And you can also try the opposite. be Scrooge-like. Appreciate nothing, want for everything, be dissatisfied. Don't count your blessings, don't feel your privileges, don't utilize your privileges. If you don't know that you're privileged and you don't recognize and feel grateful for the privileges and the opportunities in your life, you won't make use of them, period. And then you're not going to make much of a difference with your life and to other people. And you won't have the ripple effect coming back to you because it's so self-perpetuating. If we go around expressing gratitude all the time, everybody else is going to feel better, but boy, we're going to feel better at the end of the day as well. Mm. So there's kind of hard to do a lot of harm with this practice.
Are there rituals of gratitude or gratefulness? Are there, and I'm using those interchangeably, but you don't necessarily, yeah. Is there a word that you prefer? Which word, gratitude or gratefulness, or what makes sense to you?
Well, I will just say that gratitude is really trending right now, and that can be a really positive thing. And it also makes for a lot of disappointment that we don't have more opportunities to be grateful. And what I always say is, you know, gratitude often waits for something to happen, whereas I think when we are living gratefully and we see gratitude, our gratefulness, or kind of having gratefulness of heart, it's an inside job. It's a proactive approach to life versus a response to life. So gratitude, we think of as a response to something happening that we want to have happen. Gratefulness is the state of being grateful. And to be able to cultivate a state of being grateful more moments in your life, in more circumstances of your life, is only going to be beneficial because it's going to multiply exponentially the positive effects of gratitude.
Sure.
So I like to talk about gratefulness as a state of being, and grateful living is a way of life. It's basically, if you say it's like mindful living,
sure.
That you're going to live your life kind of seamlessly and embody this. So I use those. And of course, there are rituals because it's, I think, the way that we return to our awareness. I practiced mindfulness for many, 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 many years before I really learned about gratefulness. And gratefulness is kind of like mindfulness, but directed toward noticing what we're grateful for. So it's, right. You create a really mindful baseline foundation experience, and then you allow yourself to notice beauty, to cultivate a sense of wonder, to be curious, to appreciate things and people much more. So it's mindfulness plus. And there's all kinds of rituals because it's basically about returning and asking yourself those questions. What can I notice right now is working? How can I stop right now for just a moment and cultivate appreciation for what I can appreciate right now, knowing that it's going to serve my aliveness and it's going to serve my ability to engage with the world in a more productive way. Mm. It's only of service to us to try to create. It's not like there's a standard bunch of questions. What can I be grateful for right now is sometimes helpful, but I think what can I notice right now that's hopeful? What can I notice right now that is beauty? How can I see the extraordinary in the ordinary is a really good question. Mm. How the things that I think of as ordinary, if I didn't take them for granted, what would I feel right now? If I didn't take all the things I take for granted, you'd basically be in a state of stunned awe and appreciation almost every single moment of your day.
Right, yeah.
Because the truth is those things all go away. Yeah. They're all finite. We're all mortal. And if we don't live into the appreciation of what we have and what is right now, and all the people whose labor went into producing the things for us, like if you want to think about, you know, this is kind of holiday season and, you know, what are all the energies and labors of the world that have gone into allowing us the privileges that we have? And can we really take stock and inventory of those? So as to uplift appreciation even more, our sense of being fortunate, it's only good for the world when we feel that sense of interconnectedness, you know, because the world is so interconnected and we often forget we live in our myopic little universes in some ways. And I think to extend our awareness to all of that, which is in service of our life and our well-being and our comfort, to extend our awareness to that appreciatively is really a good thing.
So a couple things in this question here, and part of what you're saying reminds me of my father, who had cancer and died. And before, in the final 3 months of his life, I remember having conversations with him about how he was so taken with flowers that, you know, he'd never noticed before, just how intricate and beautiful they were. So one of the ways I find meaning and connection to him is to really, you know, to get myself some flowers and just spend time with them. That's a very micro, you know, a micro gratitude. It means so much to me, but doesn't necessarily mean anything in the world. I don't know. What about on a broad scale, can practicing gratefulness enact social change? Can it change the world? Can it have big impacts? And I'm not minimizing those deep, close, personal impacts that I have with, you know, my dad and flowers. But what about on a grander scale? Do you see the impacts of gratefulness in social change?
Absolutely. And of course, from my own personal values, anything that's going to be of service to me individually would need to also benefit the larger world, because this is not, you know, it's not about feeding alone, you know, narcissistic well-being. It's about how are we in relationship with each other and with the earth and with sustaining the things that we love. And I love your story about your dad. And I think it is a microcosm which can go macro. When we think about protecting and ensuring the things that we love, you know, how do we keep ourselves reminded of the things that we love? If, you know, one of the things that I do all the time is I pick up litter. Uh-huh. To the point where it drives a lot of people crazy. If you go on a walk with me, I'll slow you down, and I'll pick up stuff that a lot of other people are just, oh yeah, I can't believe you're picking that up. But I love the land so much that for me, being grateful, being connected to my gratefulness for the land is really significant. Yeah. And so for me, you don't have a gap between your appreciation for the land and actively appreciating the land. Those things need to be deeply tied and aligned in order to have integrity. So to me, grateful living really points to our values. What are the things that we value most deeply? And for instance, one of those things for me is democracy and the right to vote and voter registration. So if I value and am grateful for living in a democracy, and that's an active state for me that I stay aware of, I'm much more likely to do something to advance that thing that I'm grateful for. If I'm in recognition and don't take it for granted, I think that's the thing, is gratefulness is about 180 degree turn away from taking something or someone for granted.
Okay.
So we take democracy for granted so much. And so for me, the ability to help register people to vote and do everything I can to help do that is one of the ways that I make good on the fact that I'm grateful for living in a democracy that I really want to have function and work at its best. Mm. So that would be, you know, those are a couple of examples, but rooted in gratefulness, I think also one of the things that we notice is that people talk about being able to sustain their social action in a way when it's rooted in and being expressed through things that they love and deeply appreciate, ways that they can contribute in a way that feels like it actually has staying power to it. Mm. And I think exploring what we're grateful for and how that arouses a sense of responsibility and therefore social action is a really great exploration.
Yeah. We began the conversation talking about this sort of online support for offline living and the Network for Grateful Living. Are there ways that you have found as an organization to sort of digitally connect people and inspire people, to take action in their real lives? What are some of the ways that you find people can connect with others around this idea of gratefulness?
That's a great question. So we just started this past year community-based gratefulness gatherings, which is, there's a kind of year, 12-month curriculum, and groups have started gathering in communities, I think, four countries. I think there are about 50 in the United States right now. This is our first year, kind of a pilot program, and basically gathering and having conversations with each other that are explicitly about the exploration and kind of deepening that muscle and practicing together. What does it mean to really practice together? Talk about what gets in the way, talk about what's hard, be honest about those things, and what also helps us unleash our feelings more in the world and to make a difference with feeling grateful and with the privileges and opportunities we have. So that's one form, is the gratefulness gatherings. I think another thing is that we find that people really change their conversations. When people change the conversations that they're in, they change the world that they live in.
Yeah.
And so helping people change their conversations so that one of the, you know, we have grateful conversation starters, you know, what are ways that you can literally sit around a table with your family and ask each other questions that uplift things. It's a really enlightening conversation because our country especially tends to be in conversations that are complaint-based a lot.
Sure.
And when you start to notice that, you really, really get to notice that. Yeah. So I think one of the things that's kind of radical is just to start your own, changing your own conversations that you're in and to watch where that goes. And so people get a lot of reinforcement and encouragement and inspiration for changing their own internal conversations and the conversations they're in the world. And that changes then the, it's interesting how much that changes what people ask you the next time they see you, the kind of conversations you can continue to further in your life. Mm. And they start to have a different tone. One of the things that we encourage people to do is to explore, for instance, how much we say, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. And one of the practices is to switch that to, I get to, mm. I get to, I get to. It uplifts it right in the moment as, so when you sit in front of your email, and you feel besieged by a full, unbelievable opportunity of a full email inbox, is you say, I get to answer this email. And it just, it can really literally give a quarter turn to the experience so that it shifts how we enter the task at hand. Mm.